All right, so today we're diving into something a little different.
Okay.
We're going to be exploring the creative act, a way of being. It's by Rick Rubin.
Oh,
You
cool.
know the legendary music producer? He's worked with like everybody.
Yeah, he's got a pretty amazing resume.
Yeah, from Johnny Cash to Adele, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's quite a
I
range.
mean, so many.
I'd love to pick his brain.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you think a book by a guy like that would be all about the music industry,
Yeah, you'd think so.
or, super specific recording techniques.
Right? Or, like a how-to manual or something.
Yeah,
Yeah.
but it's
Really?
not like that at all.
That's interesting.
It's more like a philosophical exploration of creativity itself.
Huh.
Like, it's deep,
Okay.
it's like heady,
I like that. Yeah.
It's not what you'd
So
expect.
it's more about like the mindset, the
Yes,
creative mindset.
totally.
Like he's trying to get us to think differently about what it means to be creative.
Interesting.
And one of the first things that really kind of hit me was this idea that, we think only certain people are creative,
Right.
right? But he's challenging that.
Okay.
And he's using all these examples.
Like what?
Like he uses the Golden Gate Bridge as an example.
Okay.
Cheesesteak.
The cheese stick.
Yeah,
Okay.
like an iPad. All
Interesting.
these things that
Yeah.
you wouldn't necessarily think of as like,
Right. They're not like fine art.
right.
Yeah.
But he's saying that creation is happening all around us all the time.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah, it's not just in, art studios and, recording booths and stuff.
Right, it's in everyday life.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it really makes you start to see the world differently,
I bet. Yeah.
Like I was walking around just looking at stuff.
Like in a new way.
Yeah.
Cool.
Like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
What about you? Did any of his examples particularly resonate with you?
What really got me thinking was when he was talking about artists being like translators of
Okay.
the universe's messages.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he uses this analogy of antenna.
Okay.
Artists need to have like super sensitive antenna to pick up on these signals.
Oh, that's cool.
It's like they're tapping into something beyond like our five senses.
Right. That's like intuition
Yeah,
almost.
like a sixth sense.
Yeah. And he even connects it to the idea of highly sensitive people.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And how feeling things so deeply can be like this source of creative power,
Yeah.
but also, it can be a burden.
It's like a double-edged sword.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I found myself wondering if there really is like a connection between that sensitivity and that ability to like, tap into those deeper creative currents.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
And that idea that creativity comes from a place we don't even understand,
Right.
that's pretty mind-blowing. Like, where does it come from? Like, what is that?
Well, and he talks about, creating this space in our minds,
Okay.
like almost like a vacuum,
Oh,
to like
wow.
be able to receive those less tangible ideas.
So making space for the ideas to come in.
Exactly.
Okay,
Yeah.
there.
Have you ever had like those aha moments
Oh yeah, all the time.
where you're like stuck on a problem and then all of a
Hey.
sudden the solution just pops into your head
Total
that you're
end.
doing something else?
It's like it comes out of
It's
nowhere.
like magic.
It's the best feeling.
It is.
Yeah.
And it makes me think about his concept of the vessel and the filter.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Okay, so he talks about this like inner vessel that we all have.
Okay.
And it's filled with like our experiences, our memories, everything we've ever encountered.
Right, like our personal database.
Yeah. But then he says that we all have this filter.
A filter.
Yeah. And that's what determines what even get into that vessel in the first place.
So it's like a gatekeeper.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the really interesting part is he says that that filter is largely unconscious.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's shaped by like, our background, our beliefs,
Yeah.
all those things that we're not even aware of.
So we don't even know what's getting filtered out. That's
Exactly.
kind of scary.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, what are we missing out on?
Right. What creative possibilities are just like getting blocked
Exactly.
because of our, subconscious biases? It's like, what if we could remove the filter?
Yeah.
What would we be able to create then?
I know.
That's a cool thought.
It's a really cool thought. And then he goes on to explore the role of spirituality and creativity
Okay.
that I thought was super interesting.
Yeah.
And he's not talking about religion necessarily,
Okay.
but more about seeing deeper meaning in things,
Oh, like what kind of things?
like coincidences, gut feelings, those kinds of things. And he suggests that those aren't just random occurrences, but they could be like harnessed for creative purposes.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it's about like trusting your intuition and paying attention to those whispers from the universe.
Whispers from the universe. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever had like a hunch that led to a creative breakthrough?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Me too.
It's like it comes from somewhere else.
It does feel kind of magical.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's this whole section about submerging yourself in greatness.
Submerging yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he argues that we should be exposing ourselves to like art and ideas that are outside of our usual preferences.
Oh, so like stuff we wouldn't normally be into.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like to expand our creative capacity.
Interesting.
You know, it's like going beyond our comfort zone.
So like if you're really into like classical music, maybe check out some jazz.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Or like if you only read fiction, yeah, maybe pick up a biography.
Right, or like watch a documentary or something.
Yeah, totally. And it's so easy to get stuck in a rut, you know?
Yeah.
Consuming the same kind of art, reading the same kind of books, listening to the same kind of music.
Absolutely.
And he's challenging us to break out of those patterns.
I like that.
And just see what happens.
Yeah.
What's one piece of art? Maybe something completely outside your usual taste that you could explore this week.
Ooh, that's a good challenge.
I'm like, try it.
Me too.
Yeah.
Kind of excited about it.
It's like we're getting this like sneak peek into Rick Rubin's creative process.
Totally.
Yeah. And it makes me just want to dive into this book.
Okay.
And just really like explore these ideas.
Yeah.
And we've only just scratched the surface.
Really?
Yeah, he talks about everything from the ocean as a mirror of our creative potential to tapping into our subconscious through dream journaling.
Dream journaling.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
there's so much to unpack here.
I can't wait.
I know.
This is going to be good.
It's good stuff.
I love it.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. And you know when he talks about the subconscious,
yeah.
He's got this whole section on like memories and how much like creative potential we have just bubbling under the surface.
Like it's there, you got to tap into it.
Exactly.
Remember that example he gave?
Which one?
The one about releasing anger.
Oh, yeah.
Like that.
That was wild.
I know.
You're supposed to like beat on a pillow for 5 minutes straight.
Yes.
And then just immediately write 5 pages.
Yeah, just like whatever comes out.
Without filtering anything.
Yeah.
Wow.
It sounds intense.
I know, right?
But I kind of want to try it.
Yeah, it makes you wonder.
What else is in there?
Yeah, like what other ways we can access that hidden creativity.
Yeah, and he talks about dream journaling too.
Oh, yeah.
You have tried that?
You know, I haven't.
I haven't either.
But I'm kind of curious about it now.
Yeah, he's like really enthusiastic about it.
I know.
Like those moments before you fall asleep.
Yeah.
Or even when you're like sick and you're kind of in that feverish dreamlike state.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, those are really potent for creativity.
Mm.
It's like trying to catch those ideas.
Right before they disappear.
Yeah.
I've definitely woken up from a dream with like a feeling or an image that felt creative.
Yes.
But I never know what to do with it.
I know, me neither.
He says, keep a journal right by your bed.
Yeah.
And write it down immediately when you wake up.
Like, don't even get out of bed.
Just grab the notebook.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the key.
It's like capturing lightning in a bottle.
That's a good way to put it.
And then there's that whole thing about like making it up.
Oh, yeah. Just like making stuff up.
Yeah. Like he's saying lower the stakes
and
just play.
Yeah.
I think so many of us get so caught up in like.
In the pressure.
Yeah. Like the self-doubt.
Yeah. Especially when you're starting something new.
It's so true.
You're like, oh, is this good enough?
Yeah.
Am I doing this right?
What if it's terrible?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's just like, forget all that.
Just have fun with it.
Yeah. Just make it up.
Exactly.
Like what's the worst that could happen?
And that's where he brings in the whole Papancha thing.
Oh, yeah. Papancha.
Do you remember what that is?
It's like that voice in your head.
That inner critic.
Yes, the mind chatter.
Yeah.
That's constantly telling you you're not good enough.
Yeah. All those negative thoughts.
Yeah. And he's basically saying that to be creative, you have to silence that voice.
Which is easier said than done.
I know.
Right.
But he's not saying to ignore it.
Just like quiet it down.
Yeah.
Make space for the creative thoughts to come through.
Exactly. And it's not easy.
Definitely not.
But I think it's like a practice.
Yeah, like anything else.
And it kind of ties into what he says about mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
How mistakes are actually opportunities.
I love that.
He talks about the Leaning Tower of P. Pisa.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Like, it was a
It
mistake.
was a huge
But
mistake.
now it's like this iconic landmark.
Yeah, everyone goes to see it
I know.
because it's leaning.
It's famous for being a mistake.
It's so funny.
Yeah. And then he talks about kintsugi,
Oh, yeah.
which is the Japanese art of repairing broken pottery with
I
gold.
love that.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's like highlighting the flaws.
Yeah, it's like celebrating the imperfections.
It's a beautiful metaphor
It is.
for like how our mistakes can actually become part of the creative process.
Yeah.
Like sometimes those imperfections are what make the work unique
Totally.
and memorable.
It makes you think, like, are we too quick to judge our work?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Too eager to erase those
Yeah,
imperfections?
like what if we embrace them?
That's a great point. It's
Yeah.
like our imperfections are what make us who we are.
And that leads into his whole thing about collaboration.
Oh, yeah.
Because he says that even when we think we're creating alone, we're actually always collaborating
With who?
with the universe,
Okay.
with our past
Oh,
selves,
wow.
and even with like the different versions of
Like
ourselves.
the different parts of us that
Yeah.
show up at different times.
Exactly.
I like that.
It's like, have you ever looked back at something you created
Yeah.
and been like, wow.
How did I do that?
Yeah, like how did I come up with
It's
that?
like a different person made it.
Right. It's like acknowledging that sometimes creativity,
Yeah.
it's not something we can completely control.
It's like we're channeling something.
Yeah, like there's something bigger at play.
I love that.
It's a really cool concept. And then he tells this story
What story?
about this old man drawing water with a pulley.
Oh, yeah.
And like he could be using easier methods,
Right.
but he chooses not to.
Why?
And he says, if I put so little care into it, what might the water taste like?
Oh, wow.
It's so beautiful.
It is.
And it's like a metaphor for the creative process.
Right, like, don't rush it.
Yeah, like if we rush through it,
You might not be as good.
the quality might suffer.
Yeah, it's like anything worth doing is
Yeah,
worth doing well.
exactly.
Take your time,
Yeah,
savor it.
I love that. And Ruben is so big on breaking the rules.
Oh, yeah, he's all about that.
He thinks that all those rules often lead to work that's just average.
Like, it's not exceptional.
Exactly.
It's just okay.
Yeah, he even talks about the Ramones.
Oh, yeah.
Like they basically invented punk by
They
accident.
didn't even know they were breaking the
Right.
rules.
They were just doing their thing.
And then it became a whole
I
genre.
know.
That's so cool.
And then there's Lars von Trier with his Dog Me 95
Right,
filmmaking.
with all those like restrictions.
Yeah, like he made all these rules
Yeah.
to force herself and other
Like
film.
get outside the box.
Yeah, to
Just
push the boundaries.
drill them.
Like sometimes the most innovative work
Yeah.
comes from like throwing out the rule book and
Totally.
just going for it.
It's inspiring.
It is inspiring. And then he talks about listening.
Listening.
Yeah. And not just hearing,
Okay.
but really listening.
Like deep listening.
Yes. Like being present with the work, with the
Yeah.
ideas, and with the people we're collaborating with.
Yeah.
There's so much power in that.
I agree.
And not just in creativity.
In life in general.
Totally. It's funny how that deep listening goes hand in hand with patience, which is something Ruben really emphasizes in the book.
Yeah, that's true. It's like our world is so obsessed with efficiency,
Right.
but he's reminding us that real creativity that takes time.
It does. And he even says that being impatient is like arguing with reality.
Ooh, that's good.
Like we have no control over time.
Right. We can't make it go faster.
Nope. No matter how much we want to.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. And it makes you think like, where do we need to like slow down in our own creative processes?
Yeah, good question.
Where are we trying to force things?
Instead of letting them happen.
Yeah. And that kind of leads into the story that he tells about AlphaGo.
Oh, yeah, the AI.
Yes, the one that beat the Go Grandmaster.
That was
Oh,
crazy.
hell.
And the thing that was so interesting was that AlphaGo didn't have the baggage of like thousands of years of human tradition. It just learned the rules.
Yeah, and it approached the game with like a beginner's mind.
No preconceived notions.
Yeah, like it was seeing it all for the first time.
And that's something we can do too.
We can.
Yeah, it's about approaching things with like wonder
Yeah.
and possibility.
They're like we're kids again.
Exactly. And that's so powerful.
It is, and it makes you think, like we always say, experience is everything.
Right.
But sometimes experience can actually hold us back.
That's
What
true.
if we try to tap into that beginner's mind more often?
It would change everything.
I think so. And, you know, speaking of changing things,
Yeah.
he has this whole section on inspiration
Oh, yeah.
and what he calls the ecstatic.
The ecstatic.
Yeah, and he describes inspiration as like a download.
Like a burst of energy.
Yeah, like creative energy.
And it just hits you.
Yeah. But he says it's not about just waiting for it to strike.
Okay.
Like you have to actively invite it in.
How do you do that?
That's the question, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's about like creating the space for it.
Right? Like making yourself open to it.
Yes, and being willing to like receive it.
And when it does hit.
Oh
Oh,
man. It's
yeah.
like lightning.
Yeah.
Yeah, he calls it the ecstatic.
It's like you're in a flow state and
Yeah.
everything just clicks.
And you get chills.
Yes.
Like you know you're onto something.
Have you ever felt that
Oh yeah.
with a piece of art?
There's this one song I can think of.
Oh, yeah.
Every time I hear it,
Yeah.
I get chills.
It's like it touches your soul.
It does.
Yeah, there's a movie that does that for me.
Yeah, it's powerful. And you know what else is interesting?
What?
He talks about how the new often feels weird at first.
Yeah, because we don't have anything to compare it to. It's
Exactly.
like our brains need time to catch up.
Yeah, he gives the example of like hearing a new song
Okay.
by your favorite artist.
Yeah.
And at first you're like, what is this?
This is weird.
But then you listen to it a few more times
Yeah.
and it grows on you.
It clicks.
Yes, makes sense. And it makes me think of all the art that I've dismissed
Yeah.
because it was like too new or too different.
What if we had given it a chance?
I know, right?
What if we had been more open?
And that's where his suggestion of A/B testing comes in.
Oh, yeah. He's big on that.
And not just for marketing.
Right.
Like he actually uses it for his own creative process.
So, like comparing different versions of something.
Yeah, to see what really works.
That's smart.
Yeah, and he even suggests like doing it blind if you can
Oh,
to
wow.
remove your own
Take
biases.
yourself out of the equation.
Yeah, like you could even use a coin toss.
Really?
Yeah, just to like tap into your gut feeling.
It's like surrendering to chance.
Yeah.
I like that.
And finally, he brings it all back to this idea of letting it be,
Letting it be.
like surrendering to the creative process,
Yeah, not trying to force it.
trusting the flow.
It's like a spiritual thing almost.
Yeah, it
It's like
is.
trusting that the universe has your back.
And the book ends with this beautiful quote.
Oh, what is it?
If you are open and stay tuned to what's happening, the answers will be revealed.
Wow, that's good. It's
Right.
like an
To be
invitation
present
to listen.
and to trust.
I love that.
This deep dive into the creative act has been so insightful.
It really has.
And I feel like I've learned so
Me
much.
too.
And I'm definitely going to be revisiting these
I'm gonna
ideas.
have to read the book now.
You should. It's really
I'm
good.
adding it to my list.
And remember, this was just a taste.
Yeah.
There's so much more to discover in the book itself.
I'm excited to dive in.
So go explore, experiment, and see what creative whispers the universe has in store for you.
Yes.
Happy creating.